This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You're now in the Essential Zone, where we seek to be informative, inspirational, enlightening, and dynamic. But more importantly, we seek to be fair and balanced. There comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue our purpose for the greater good of all, for country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes, there comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. The essentials. Serious radio for serious people committed to advancing the national conversation. And welcome to the Essentials, the reset. You're on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Hubert Edwards. And we're going to have, as usual, a wonderful conversation. But of course, we have to pause to recognize the fact that this past yesterday, the 28th, represents 8 years that the Essentials is on radio on the air. Over that time, we have done many, many interviews. We have had the opportunity and the privilege to interview persons all from all walks of life of Bohemian society across the region and internationally. We have done many individuals who were in parliament, who eventually ended up in parliament, deputy prime minister, current and a number of other MPs, minister of national security, so on and so forth, former governor general, folks. We have had a whale of a time over the last year. We started our first show on the 28th of June, 2015, with Miles Monroe Jr. And from there on, it just got better and better. And we have enjoyed every single moment. And so we pause here at the beginning. I pause here to say thanks for the opportunity to serve. Thanks for the opportunity to be able to lend my voice to the airwaves, to the conversations, and to the narratives which have been had in the country. I think we have worked hard. In the earlier days, we had support from Rodney Bain, who was a co-host. We also had Kenny Mackey here. We had a number of individuals who contributed to the success of the show, and we believe that to some measure we have been successful in maintaining a standard of discussion, keeping it real, keeping it balanced, keeping it focused, and keeping it informed. And to the extent that we have been able to do that, to the extent that we may have been able to impress upon you that we achieved or approached that in some measure, we consider ourselves to be successful. And so the essential turns 28, not 28, but turns 8 on the 28th. So thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the privilege. Certainly to the Guardian Radio and the Guardian family for keeping me around this long. Didn't think it would happen this long, but here we are. But this evening, we are pursuing our series, The Road Beyond 50. And so we started with looking at financial service broadly. We had Tanya McCartney and we have Freda Smith. Then we got into some economics with Therese Turner. We got into some talking about culture and religion with Pastor Mario Moxie. Last week we had a discussion, not last week, but last week we had a discussion really around, you know, how do we develop people? And we had this discussion with Duquesa Dean, the development of people showing national pride. Where are we going? Are we really bringing everyone along with us? And so this week we're going to switch it a bit, and we're going to invite two very, very capable gentlemen to be our guests. We have with us Mr. Jeffrey Beckles and Mr. Dino Cartwright. And one of the things that they have in common is the fact that they are crossovers, both from the religious sector, if you will, and the financial business sector. And so they can speak on a broad range of issues. We have a difference in age, and so we have different generations represented. And so we want to have ourselves a whale of a time. So in between that discussion, we'll have ourselves a little bit of a celebration, and we have selected some songs we have used over the years, Jamaican songs, Bahamian songs, which kind of celebrate the essence of what the Essentials represents for the longest while, when we were on Sunday, then when we were on Thursday and Sunday, and now only Thursday. And so we're going to take ourselves a quick break here, and when we come back, in between the music, we're going to have ourselves a wonderful conversation. We're going to ask some questions. Are we celebrating the Bahamas enough? Are we there yet? What are some of the lessons that we need to learn? Are we loving ourselves enough? Are there some mistakes, some missteps that we need to learn from? And what happens after the 50th celebration? Don't move. Come right back.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not settling, so many did before me. I'm not settling, yeah. Oh, I'm not settling. I deserve the best. Not going to live my life like the rest. I'm not settling. I deserve the best. Absolutely no opinion, no contest. I'm not settling. I deserve the best. Not going to live my life like the rest. I'm not settling. I deserve the best. Absolutely no opinion, no contest. Hey, some people want the status quo. Why they settle, I don't know. So many options, so many choices, but so many voices want you to believe that you can't achieve, but you're gonna make it if you don't settle. Yeah, I'm not settling.
Because I'm not settling, we have this evening two top shelf guests who are here to speak with us. I mentioned generational difference. Somebody hears something differently. I'm not too sure, but welcome back to The Essentials, Mr. Jeffrey Beckles. Welcome to The Essentials, Mr. Dino Cartwright. How are you doing?
Good evening, and thank you. It's good to be back. I'm still laughing because he calls me old on national radio. only because he's my good friend.
But it's
good to be back with you, and it's great to be with Dino tonight, and looking forward to the conversation. Congratulations. It doesn't seem like 8 years, but time has gone by. So congratulations to you.
Thank you so much.
Good evening. I'd like to join Mr. Beckers in congratulating you on these 8 years of the essentials. And I am definitely sure that the next, whatever is coming up next, will be something that will add to the national conversation. And we are, I'm happy to be a part of just adding my 2 or 5 cents to helping our nation go to the next place. I'm excited about tonight, and I'm looking forward to a powerful discussion.
Yes, and so let's get right into it. We're talking about independence. We're talking about the growth and the development of the country. The Bahamas celebrates 50 years this year. And I thought we would have a bit of a conversation because it is my view that whatsoever it is that we're going to celebrate in 2023, we have already achieved. And so if we are really and seriously into nation building, then of course we must celebrate to the fullest, but we must also start to look forward to the future. So let's start with you, Jeff. As you glance your eyes backwards, growing up as a young man in the Bahamas, coming from Chippenham, your beloved Chippenham, what are some of the things which have struck you in terms of the Bahamas growth? What are some of the high points, the high moments, the things which stood out in you as a young child, as a young adult, as a grown man?
Wow, interesting. And it seems like yesterday he was a 12, 13-year-old boys brigader on parade that night on July 10th. And it just seems like yesterday. But besides the euphoria and the excitement that was enjoyed by all, I think when we settled in to realize that we had a country to grow and what it really meant to be independent, there was a lot of excitement, like I said. But I think over the years, we kind of settled in to try and understand for the common man on the street, the average man, to understand what it means to be independent and what does that require of each of us. Mm-hmm. And so having said that, I think over the years, watching the maturation in some levels, I guess we can use the term would be good, of our country, we certainly didn't always get it right, but there was always this consistent effort to try and better the country. Mm-hmm. And I think having been raised at a time when the narrative was, you know, get your education, let's build the Bahamas, come back home to the Bahamas, you've got a role to play. That was a narrative that I grew up with. And I think that was the thing that drove me in my early years to stay focused on where I was going with my education, my career, and truly find my place to make that contribution. So for me, it was about the excitement of being independent, the challenge of learning what it meant to be independent as a citizen, mm-hmm. What it meant to now be, not to be told that you had a role, but to ensure that a role was, you were facilitated in finding your role. And I think that was the thing that drove me then. And now as I look back at it, 50 years, obviously, you know, there are some highs and there are some lows. But I think we still have an opportunity to do many great things.
Yeah. So, Dino, as you think about your life, a younger individual, but certainly you would have interacted with the grandmother, with mother, with uncles and aunts. And as you listen to Jeffrey Beckles kind of outline the fervor that was present, the excitement, the thing which pushed them to be better, to be good, to become productive in the interest of country. Are you as a person still experiencing that? Are you seeing enough of that? And what would be some of the high points for you in your shorter than 50 years of independence?
Thank you again. So as I listen to Jeff speak, it provides a bit of nostalgia because there were times too, I was on the Boys Brigades, I was in Royal Ambassadors, when we would celebrate the independence activities as well. And over the course of the years, I've seen, to be quite honest, the celebration of it kind of waning as generations change. I'm not sure if there's a gap of generational where the information, like the is taught us in the Old Testament, where information is not passed on from one generation to another. So persons aren't getting that appreciation for what happened. But over the years, I've seen technological growth. I've seen the country shifting from a more archaic system to a more digitized system. I've seen growth of our children being exposed to more educationally. And so it bodes a promising future of the country. And one of the things that we have to do is ensure that we maintain that appreciation for where we've come from as we continue to trek forward to where we've gone. Because for a person who has no appreciation of where they come from, they can make a meaningful and lasting impact on where they're going. And so I believe that as we ensure that one generation passes to another, we maintain our values and our principles as we chart the course of the future.
Definitely, I see you channeling Marcus Garvey there when he say a people who does not know their history is like a tree without roots. And certainly, I know that that's not the case here. But one has to make the argument, or one has heard over and repeatedly, especially by the older person, that something is missing. Something, if not missing, is being lost. Jeff, as a keen observer of national life, as an individual who interacts and I think move seamlessly between the generations and between the classes, if you will, are you able to put your finger on that thing, the thing which may be waning, or the thing which needs a little bit more energy for regeneration?
I think Dino mentioned something, and it's a single word called history, right? Mm-hmm. And I think history has provided that gap, and that gap has gotten wider. He made reference to the point that as the independence celebrations go on, we see our parents out there, we see our grandparents out there, we see less and less 30-somethings and 40-somethings being involved and being interested in the real celebration of independence. And I think that has to do in great part to how we have told our history, how we've told that history in terms of quantifying it and allowing it to be a quantifiable story to be told. Today, you know, I think those Bahamians who are 40 years and under have a very little appreciation for even our recent history. So Milo, Sir Lyndon, the early years that led to up to our independence, and over these past 50 years, what it all meant. And as I, you know, go throughout life, you hear it. People either don't know or really don't care. Mm-hmm. And then you have the other side of the coin, where there are three or four different groupings of people, Bahamians, that live in our country, right? There are people you never see celebrating independence or anything nationally. They belong here, they live here, but they don't care. And they don't want to be involved. And so I think it's a combination of how the value we have placed on our history, one, how we have shared that children and grandchildren, two, and then the I would use a word that we typically use, and I think you used it earlier, we still have a classism that exists where there is simply a group of Bahamians that couldn't care any less. And I think that, too, contributes to the level of indifference that we see as it relates to us as a people.
Yeah. I need to come back to you, Jeff, on this, because I think the point you just made lean us in a particular direction, social cohesion. So the Bahamas enjoys a high standard of living. The Bahamas enjoy a certain lifestyle, which in many regional countries is just not existent, or where it exists in pockets and is not easily enjoyed across the board. But the Bahamas seems to be struggling, in my mind, with putting its own social cohesion, where you have all different sectors of society, including different persons of ethnic backgrounds and nationality, coming together in a more seamless way to celebrate what represents the Bahamas. Talk to us about that.
I tend to agree. There are a couple of things that come to mind. As we have developed and grown, there's always been a sense of us and them in the Bahamas, socially, even economically. In many respects, some have perpetrated that separation. And so we've got, socially, there's not cohesion. Because, I mean, when we talk about the haves and the have-nots, the promise was those who didn't have, we would make it possible not to give it to you, but to teach you how you can be more, achieve more, and become more, right? For many, that never happened. And then you talked about the fact that we enjoy a high standard of living. You know, we talk about our per capita GDP, but the truth of the matter is, in my view, it's somewhat inflated. It's an inflated story, right? Because the truth is, in golf, we have this expression called a false front when you approaching the green, right? And I think we have a lot of that in the Bahamas, where we the talk is big, the excitement is there about our standard of living, our quality of living, but then we still have more poor people today than we did at any point in time in our history, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have to be careful when we talk about high standard and the impact it has on classism and the socioeconomic separations that still today divide us. And you can drive through various parts of Nassau, just Nassau alone. I mean, if you go to the Family Islands, it's equally as profound there too. But you drive around Nassau and you see some of our inner cities, city communities, and you look at them and you say, wow, nothing much has changed, mm-hmm. right? And so you get that kind of wow feeling. And then you have this fact that I do believe that in many respects, the Bahamas has always been a melting pot of ethnicities. We do a good job of living in denial of that fact, right? Because we've always had people here from various ethnic backgrounds, but we've not always embraced that difference, that ethnicity, with one common view is how do we build a better Bahamas? So today in 2023, 50 years later, we'll have, to a great extent, the melting pot, but we still, in many respects, live as if we deny the fact. Yeah. And we've not yielded that opportunity because it's great skill. There's great opportunity, there's great experience, great exposure right within our communities, but we live as if we live in denial of that fact.
And that's an interesting point to make. I want to go to you, Dino, on the backdrop of what Jeff just indicated. I want to kind of borrow from the our American brothers and sisters. They always talk about the American dream. Is there a Bahamian dream? And has that Bahamian dream, which emerged from pre-1967, pre-majority rule, and the energy that emanated post-majority rule and into independence, is that Bahamian dream a thing? Is it something which is achievable by the ordinary man on the street?
It was coined by Sir Adriana that, Bahamianization would have been the Bahamian dream, where every Bahamian would be educated and they would be empowered to be able to manage the lifestyle and the industries of the Bahamas and be able to lead in that aspect. As time would have gone on, we have seen that dream has, in some instances, materialized. But when we look at it again, we have to wonder and ask ourselves, because we have the title now, does that necessarily mean that we have the power? And we have to really engage our minds and be honest with ourselves to quantify or qualify what is considered the Bahamian dream. For Americans, the American dream would have been whether to own your own home and all that kind of stuff. But what we now coin as Bahamian dream, I believe that ownership of our economy is the Bahamian dream. And after 50 years of governance, or after 50 years of self-governance, and we put that in inverted quotes, after 50 years of self-governance, we now have to go to the next place of not just cultural independence or independence from Great Britain, but we now have to make it a point to enter this place of financial independence. Mm-hmm. Whereas Bahamians can actually finance that, which they consider to be a level of living that goes beyond just surviving, that goes into thriving.
Yeah.
As it relates to being able to realizing the Bahamian dream, I think we are still a ways off because, as Jeff would have mentioned, though our GDP on black and white says a certain thing and we are at a certain mark or a certain point in our regional standing, we have to find out, is this affected or does the effect of this reach to the common man? Mm-hmm. And until we get to that point, I don't think that we can have a conversation about the Bahamian dream, because our dream may be different from everybody.
Okay.
And as persons are different and the dreams are different, we now have to find out, whatever your dream is there a country, is there a legislation, is there a means to be able to meet that? And so it is a point of national conversation of where do we go from here after 50 years of being now self-governed. Are we able to meet the demands of realizing whatever our individual dreams are?
Yeah,
I think that's the way that our conversation needs to be turned.
Mm-hmm.
Because for a number of us, it's that financial means that's causing us not to be able to meet those. But I'm happy to have the conversation with you, Jeff.
Yeah, definitely. We have to. You're talking about how we take the next step, how we get to the next level. I think it's Debbie Bartlett who says the next dream is, you know, after emancipation, it's now economic and financial independence. We have a caller on the line. Caller, you're on The Essentials. Go ahead.
Yeah, pleasant good evening to you, Mr. Edwards, and good evening to your guests as well.
Good evening.
I'm a part of the convo, so I just want to jump in right here with several things that I heard. You talk about ethnic cohesion. From my point of view,
I think cohesion.
The Bahamas has always embraced various ethnic Caribbean groupings for the most part. As you know, quite a number of individuals would have come from various Caribbean islands to serve on the police force and into the teaching positions and whatnot. Those persons who came here legally and wanted to be assimilated into our society, they have done that seamlessly. Mr. Paul Thompson and his generation, Mr. Mason and the other people, they assimilated, and they are all a part of our society. As a matter of fact, I heard Mr. Mason, as he spoke on the Independence 50th year celebration the other day. So we have embraced that. The problem with a particular ethnicity who have come into our country illegally, invaded our space, and now claiming to wanting to be embraced. That is the problem. That is the issue that we are having a problem with. We will embrace anybody who comes into our country the right way and who abides by our laws and want to be a part of our society. This particular grouping, they have their own set of laws.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As far as our Bahamian dream, for the most part, Mr. Edwards, this dream is becoming a nightmare for many Bahamians. It's very difficult for the average Bahamian to even buy a piece of land in this country today. The prices of land has skyrocketed. The government is sitting on 1 million acres of land, and yet it wouldn't give it to its citizen. But it's allowing people to come into our country. These people are coming into our country and taking over our land, taking over our inheritance while we sit down and just call it peanut butter. And so as I reflect, I'm 63 years old. And as I reflect on the Independence Night, I was there on that fort. I had a dream. But this is not the dream that is becoming a nightmare for many Bahamians. And if this government doesn't do something in the next year or so, I don't think we're going to see 55 years as a country per se. it's going to be chaos in this country, Mr. Edwards. And I'm saying that on this 50th year, it is not a celebratory mood for a lot of Bahamians today, because they are seeing our country, which is supposed to be a country of laws. Laws are being violated left, right, and center, and it seems like we have no law, no order in this country. It's becoming a nightmare for many of us.
Thank you much for your contribution, and certainly, a couple of high points, a couple of low points there, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not saying that you're not accurately expressing yourself, but certainly one of the things that we want to be doing is we want to look to the opportunities, the issues you pointed out. Now, I want to make one important correction, if I will, in that when Jeff mentioned the idea or the issue of different ethnicities. Yes, he mentioned those, but we were focused on social cohesion, which is a larger issue as opposed to the term that you use, which was ethnic cohesion. At the end of the day, social cohesion readily accepts and anticipates and assumes that the individual is here, who is here, ought to be here, should be here, and is and qualifies, that individual qualifies to be integrated within the Bahamian society. And so that is in terms of nuance, just a little subtle thing that I think we should clear up. But you made some valid points, and you kind of threw Mr. Cartwright's Bahamian dream on its head. You said now it's a nightmare. But the question is it truly a nightmare? Is it that things are so bad, or is it that there are some things which are fixable that are not being addressed? And therefore, Jeff, as we look beyond the 50 years, we ought to cast our minds, cast our arts, cast our effort, bring our genius to those things, because now we need to treat those as a learning experience for the rest of the journey.
To some extent, yes, I do believe so. Let me give you a good example. The issue of land ownership was raised, right? Back in the early days, we would always hear of a conversation about land ownership. I watch a lot of documentaries, I watch a lot of Westerns, and when people migrated, even those persons from that country, When persons in the United States went west, they went west and they settled in Arizona and Montana and Texas, and they settled on a piece of land, right? Because land was the foundation on which they would build this dream that they had. We have the same conversation, and I'll just use land as an example. We have a similar conversation here in the Bahamas. Land ownership has been the dream of the average Bahamian from, as my Grammy would say, time immemorial, rather than trying to determine how best we can make land accessible to the average Bahamian, because at the end of the day, it means little to us to talk about independence if the average Bahamian is not the focus, right?
True.
So rather than making it our objective to ensure that the average Bahamian can have access to a piece of land, not just giving it away, but to have reasonable access to a piece of land. And that's an area that I believe that we could have done a far better job, because there are too many Bahamians lingering, trying to figure out, how do I get a piece of land? And then the conversation of affordability comes in. So I think that was one of those areas where we talk, when we're talking about the dream of the Bahamian land ownership. And then, of course, as the economy in the Bahamas has grown and has diversified, and to some extent, again, the conversation about ownership, how do we ensure that the average Bahamian can be a participant, yes, but also evolve to become owners. And truthfully speaking, there's very little of any of our major sectors in our economy that Bahamians actually own. Mm-hmm. And after all these years. So I think looking back, yes, there are some things that we could learn to do better. I don't know that if it's that it is completely out of our control, but I believe that we can certainly manage this conversation far better for the next 50, so that our children and grandchildren can actually be proud to be a Bahamian. Because, I mean, simply holding a passport is nice. I mean, it's a great privilege, yes, but I would hate for my young son to grow up, and in the next 20 years, the only thing he has to say is, well, at least I have a Bahamian passport. It can't be the Bahamian dream. I think ownership on many levels has to be the issue and the focus. And for when we do this, we have to focus on the average Bahamian.
Dino, what are some of the errors? Because, you know, a lot of time we have these conversations, and we're on the radio, we read the newspaper. I think it's a human tendency to kind of lean to the negatives. But are there some positives, maybe big positives, that we're not spending enough time celebrating? Are we sometimes too harsh on the country? Are we sometimes too harsh on the leadership? Are we sometimes too harsh on the average man on the street? Should we celebrate more? And are there things that we ought to be celebrating more?
You know, it's quite interesting with the human psyche that the second that we focus on the negative, that's the more we see. And I find that even with our, if we constantly talk about the negative of it, or just focus on the negative of it, then our brain automatically shuts down from finding possibilities. There's a whole lot of good that happens in the country, as well as there's a lot of potential to do better. One of the key things that we have to focus on then is enforce groundwork hasn't been laid. It's actual enforcement of those things that allows us to have the ability. We have a number of our young persons who are skilled, who are educated, who are some living abroad, and they are waiting on opportunities to come back home. That you know, with the stroke of a pen, this can be done.
Waiting on opportunities from who?
From the government to provide.
To do what?
Two things. Pardon, sorry?
To do what?
Opening industry. Opening industry. Being able to bring back their skills.
Government don't open industry. It's private sector who does that. So what are they waiting for?
They do, but if the government, when I say that, I don't mean necessarily even putting in the capital. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about opening the industry, allowing persons to do things like invest, allowing persons to do things like be able to expand without any extra red tape or even bureaucracy, mm-hmm. to expand the industry in terms of concessions that are provided to foreign, providing
equal opportunity,
consistent concessions to those who are here who want to be able to expand. Mm-hmm. We are not lacking in brain power. It's just two things: access and opportunity. That if we have an environment that allows what we have within us to be able to come to maturity, I believe that we will be in a far better place. That would entail. So we understand that the government is limited in what they can do, probably capital wise or whatever, but there is something that if the government puts in place legislation or even opens doors to allow us to be able to bring about our full potential, I believe that we can be in a much better place. So conversations has to be had from a leadership perspective that just makes it available, mm-hmm. For us to be able to shine. And that's one of the things that we have to look at. So in terms of positivity that is happening, if we allow ourselves to, let me backpedal one step, because it all starts with persons who we have conversations with may not even know that they're being negative, but I believe a whole lot of persons are losing hope. And they're losing hope, which is built in some kind of semblance of a future that they can see. A number of my counterparts, a number of those within my generation are, to be quite honest, they are disillusioned with where we are headed, because they don't see the possibility of a future, not even from a capital perspective, but even giving them the opportunity to make a change. A caller talked about land and about the availability of land. Jeff talked about not just giving the land away for free, because I believe in enterprise and I believe in industry, which is a part of our constitution. But there ought to be a way that we allow it to be affordable enough for persons to be able to participate. And if they put industry and hard work to it, there's no reason why we can't be able to access the land. And at the rate we are going now in our nation, a whole lot of our land, our perimeter of this one island has been gone. So now we are now, you know, almost like crabs in a pen in the middle of the land, now just trying to make some semblance of survival. Yeah. It all comes to Jeff and also Hubert, whereas when we develop industry on our islands, again, simple stroke of a pen by government, allowing concessions. I know that there are hotel encouragement acts that are out there, but allowing us to even be able to access capital outside of our current structure, outside of our current financial system, is another step forward that we can actually look at.
Okay.
Being able to make collaborations and partnerships internationally, you know, those things.
Now, before you go, Jack, I'm going to save a piece of this for you, but I really want to take a break. We do a break, but I'm going to come back to you on that, because I think Dino made some interesting points. I'm not saying whether I agree or disagree, but he made some interesting points, and I want to get your input in that. But let's take on to hear from Jeff. Has there been a softening of the willingness of the new generation to work for the betterment of the country? That willingness to go out and slog and do the things which were necessary coming out of 1967, coming out post-1973, that generation which were willing to work hard to build a country, is the new generation looking for things to be delivered on a platter? You listen to The Essentials, The Reset. I have with me Jeffrey Beckles and Dino Cartwright, and we're having a conversation. And we're going somewhere with this. So the question we want to land on at the end of the day is, how do we look forward to the next 50 beyond the celebration? I don't want you to move. I want you to stay right there. And when we come back, we want to hear from you. Our numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 259, and our text line 422-4796. Don't move. Come right back.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
New Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call, all from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Next Level Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance, and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experience. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions. Practical solutions delivered.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
from innocence to experience, from dependence to independence.
Journey on.
Well, now I have loved and I have been loved. I have judged and I have been judged.
Journey on.
So whether calm or storm, there's a victory. Cause I'm in all and all is in me.
Journey.
As we journey from 1973 to 2023, as we journey from pre-1967 to 1973, and then to today, is it your view that the new generation, the younger generation, is actually getting weary? Is it true in your mind that there seemed to have been a depreciation of the level of commitment to nation building, which might be emanating from younger people? Is it because, as we started the show, there is a decoupling from the history, understanding from whence the country came, the struggles, being involved in the struggles? What exactly, in your opinion, is happening here? And then, you know, you can tie that into the points which were made earlier by Dino.
Well, great. Thank you. I think it's a combination of several things. When we look at the whole concept of nation building and what that required, there is a view that real nation building could only have taken place when there was greater inclusion, right? More opportunities for the masses. Going back to the land issue, could there be a policy issue where our policy is flawed because it appears that the land policy, land ownership policy, is more skewed toward them, whoever them is, versus the common man. I think so. When there is a view that those who came before us took much for themselves and left the rest of us to fend for the crumbs. And so now that you have this generational gap that has set in, where people feel disenfranchised and left out and disappointed and losing hope, there's a sense that, okay, well, those who were supposed to have come and helped us a long way kind of took us what we can or cannot have. And I think there are a lot of people that feel that way. And I think it's part of this, it's part of what has contributed to this level of apathy, because when people lose hope, apathy sets in, and when apathy sets in, then you get the view that, well, maybe they're just too lazy to even work hard. And so I think it's, for us, one of the lessons that I believe that we can learn very, very directly from the first 50 is just how inclusive have we been in terms of our policy decisions and in our behaviors and in our actions, right? How intentional have we been in ensuring that our efforts accrue to the average Bahamian? We talk about John Doe and Susie Q, but and we don't think about them that often, but we think about Bill and Mary. But John Doe and Susie Q, have we done well enough to ensure, enough to inspire hope, yes, encourage them to work hard, yes, realizing that they can actually achieve, as opposed to the appearance that, okay, fine, this is all you can have. And that is a serious perception issue. So I think one of the things going forward about the next 50 is we have to be honest with ourselves, which is something that we don't necessarily practice well enough, in looking at ourselves and saying, look, this worked, this didn't work, we could have done this better, what do we need to do? And begin to rephrase and refresh how we begin to march toward the second 50, because again, with every generation that we lose, the Bahamas gets weaker and weaker and weaker. Okay, and I think it's important for us to recognize that. And we've lost a lot in these first 50 years. We've lost a good amount of the energy, hope, and focus by some of our people. And I think that's a lesson that we can do a good enough job to ensure that the benefits of an independent Bahamas accrue to the average Bahamian.
If I was to do a scientific analysis of the words used on the show so far, hope is by far the leader. I think without realizing it, between yourself and Dino, you have used the word hope so many times that we must pause and draw some attention to it. Leadership, it is said, are leaders, it is said, are merchants of hope. They ought to be leadership which creates and ignites hope, because once hope is gone, then persons' will and resilience and their determination or their ability to move forward starts to wane. So to you, Dino, considering what Jeff has said, maybe the country in its march overly inclusive, maybe there's not been sufficient equity and equality where that is necessary, maybe the ruling class, the individuals who find themselves in the seat of power and not just political power, may have benefited disproportionately compared to the ordinary man. How do you get to the place where you reignite the sense of hope and attach this to the energy necessary for nation building, the energy which is necessary to bring the entire populace along in an inclusive manner with a view of having a better next 50? How do we do that?
That is an excellent question, Hubert. And when I look at how do we engage or how do we build hope again, we have to look at what causes to have hope in the first place. When our progenitors, those who were coming in 1967, 1973, that government, what happened was they had the opportunity to country. They had virgin land, essentially, that they had to now develop into what would become a nation. When we have to recast the dream, we have to recast, okay, where do we go from here? We understand that we have to give somebody something to dream toward. When there is sufficient hope, then it gives persons the necessary gasoline to move. We are all men of faith, and we all ascribe to the Bible. And it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, we understand, is an action word. Faith is a doing word, real faith. And so what happens is faith only comes into play, and it is the substance or the proof that there is hope. And we find that apathy has really engaged the nation, because they've lost their hope, because they've lost something to look forward to. What would have to happen now is we would have our leaders now have to cast a vision for the future, for the next 50. We have to come out of this every five-year cycle. We have to buy into, cast us beyond five-year cycles, that somehow we find a way to tie successive governments or successive administrations into a long-term vision for the nation. What would that look like? Where would we expect our children and our children's children to be in 50 years? What is it that should be the baseline? I think what can determine hope for our nation is developing a national baseline that every child of the nation shall at least have a quality education straight up to college, at least their first degree, that every child that grows up in the next 50 years should have at least a plot of land. How do we make this accessible to them? How do we make this affordable to them? There are some countries that have federal systems that provide for such things as down payment assistance. Because I've been in the banking sector for more than 10 years, and I've found that, you know, a lot of times it's not a matter of fact of making the monthly payments. It's a matter of fact of coming with a down payment and the legal fees. How can governments now intervene, or even outside of government, how can we together to cause this impediment to be brushed out of the way or mitigated so we can make this happen? We have to be able to sell a realistic dream to our young people and put in place the steps to go there. The first place that we do this is, if this is a legislative issue, we have to rethink who we are setting the parliament. we understand Parliament is only a microcosm of our people here. Are we satisfied with what we see happening in Parliament? Are we satisfied with the legislation they are putting forth? If not, we have to now make conscious decisions and honest decisions on who are we sending there. And those of us who are not in there, but have these ideas, are we willing to self-sacrifice to put ourselves in position to make legislative changes? We can, you know, and I often tell my local church, our congregation, I said, you know, there's a place for placards on Parliament. But truth be told, they only listen to so much that happens in placards. And I've worked downtown long enough to know when the sun gets high at 12 noon, the crowd starts to dissipate. So really, what we have to do is while we have persons who are persons committed to going into the Parliament to make the necessary changes, to actually go ahead and put the best foot in, put their foot forward and let their voice be heard.
Well, can I ask you this then? Sure. Let me just ask you this, and because I hear you. I hear all of what you've said.
Yes, sir.
But let's look at one component of an independent Bahamas, education, right?
Correct.
Education. Because I can tell you, I mean, we all know there's a difference between free education and quality education. Huge difference. And while we were promised access to free education, the question is, did we actually get quality education? Because if I'm going to sell you hope, without providing you a quality education, that will bring last long. Okay? Because you talked about hope being the fuel that drives your dream. And so one of the things that I hope that we can look to the next 50, because we're missing it with our children now, because our children are at a point where, you know, they tell us, they look us in our teeth and tell us, well, you know, Daddy, that's your problem in the Bahamas. I don't have to be here, so I go where I could have opportunities, right? But if we're going to fix the next generation of Bahamians, one of the things that I'm hopeful that we can do is truly examine the quality of the education that we are delivering. Here's the reason why. When we have 10,000 kids that graduate school every year, and you know, maybe 100, 200 of them get to go off to college, what happens to the other 8,000 plus, 9,000 plus, right? And they have to settle for baseline jobs where they have to wait for the government to raise the minimum wage to get a reasonable wage. We have to ask ourselves the question, opportunities for quality education, because I think that's where it starts. That gives that individual a better chance, because at the end of the day, even if he or she does not get to go to tertiary education, but they get a solid education through the 12th grade, we have now given them a tremendous of diving board, as it were. A jump start on having a more successful life. No,
I think that those are valid points. Certainly, the output of any nation in 2023, certainly in our modern times, is going to be highly influenced by the level of educational grounding which the general population is exposed to, and not an education system which economic background and affordability, but one which the ordinary person who have very, very humble means have the ability to access. I want to use that as a jump off point for this on the back of something which Dino mentioned, and the need for casting a vision. Certainly, even though it may have not been written, even though one may not find anything documented in any one place, there was a very clear vision in 1967, before 1967. It may have been a narrow vision, but it was a very clear vision. And that vision was for the majority of the persons who mostly look like me and you, Jeff and Dino, to be in charge of the country, to be able to run the country, to open opportunities. Persons were starved of education. Persons were starved of access to health care, which normally in order to citizens in a modern country.
Mm-hmm.
Do we now really need to rethink, to recast, as Dino mentioned, a new vision? And how will that vision emerge? Who is responsible for that? Who is going to lead that? Who is going to run point on this new vision for the Bahamas? Not all at once.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was running to point at that to Zeno, but that's fine. You're right. I think the single word is reforms, right? And sometimes when we think of reforms, we get very political, but it's not just about politics.
Mm-hmm.
We have to reform. We have to do some reform thinking, right? And I'll start with a simple thing that has been, a lot of people got cussed out for this, and I'm happy to see that some energy is coming back in it. But having been now an independent country, you said earlier then, but it was clear. 50 years later, we are unclear about what our vision is because we have no national development plan that lays out a development plan for the country that where there are reasonable benchmarks that we can actually manage our progress. So reforms, again, I think for the next 50, we have to be very diligent and ask ourselves, where do we want this country to go in these respective sectors, right? We need reforms in education. We need reforms in healthcare. We need reforms in civil society. We need reforms in the public sector and private sector, by the way, if we are going to be X. And so that X is determined by the national vision for the Bahamas. And we can't continue to trifle with that conversation much longer because the truth is economies that were much smaller than ours and less functional than ours are now doing better. They have national objectives. I do believe that we have a very small window left in our national life to be able to establish a national development plan for this country with reasonable, measurable milestones that keeps this country on track. Other than that, I think we're going to continue to rinse and repeat.
Yeah, there's only a small window left for those of us who are alive because the Bahamas as a country won't die. And certainly in the future, maybe...
But it won't be robust or healthy either, though.
Yeah, chances are it will, without the intervention, as you indicate, it will not be robust. But at some point in the future, the genius that we are producing and will produce through generations will dust themselves off and say, hey, our forefathers and our forefathers' fathers, on with it. And so I still believe that there is going to be an opportunity, but from the perspective of the foreseeable future, you're absolutely right that if we do not become more intentional and deliberate in charting a plan, setting out a vision, and casting something which can be bought in by all and sundries, there are going to be some difficult moments in the future. As we look at the performance of individual, you look at the overall performance of the country at a macro level. It's doing good. It's growing. We have our challenges. Yes. But Dino, you sit in an interesting place as someone who works in financial services in private sector, but also as the leader of a church. How, explain to us or tell us, your experience of engaging with those with who we call society. What would the country be without the intervention of social actors like yourself, like churches and charities and so on? Do we have a really serious problem in that arena?
There is a problem in the arena, whereas that which we've seen on a macro level is not trickling down to the micro level, because on a daily basis, we have persons who are still going hungry, persons who are still out of school, and they often lament over the young people who have not re-registered into school since the pandemic. And this is of course, a growing problem that's going to affect the country within the next 5-10 years. but from the grassroots level, when I say grassroots, I'm talking about from touching and connecting with persons who are considered ordinary Bahamians, we have a growing case of persons who are unable to make ends meet, unable to live month to month. We look at society and we look at central bank stats who don't have $1,000 in savings, which literally means persons are literally living paycheck to paycheck. They are one paycheck away from being unable to sustain themselves. And so there is a burden on social services, there's a burden on civil society, there's a burden on churches who are doing things on a daily basis to try to help persons to eat. But when you're looking at a far-fetching vision, this is okay, but this cannot be sustained. We have to be able to help persons, to teach them how to fish. And before you teach persons how to fish, you have to make the pond available for them to fish in. And so it's going to require churches to go beyond just meeting the needs, the daily needs of persons. We have to now train our congregations to think and to actually be able to add value to society. And so from that level, Hubert, I'm finding that it's not getting easier. Mm-hmm. And so while persons when we have persons coming into poverty, even on greater levels, we have to now jump on this, as Jeff would have said, sooner than later. Yeah. It's not a very pretty picture when we're looking at it from the perspective that I see. And so we need to start working not only on a vision, but having a vision that can work from day one. And that's one of the key things that we have to do, because it's good to cast vision, like we are saying, but we have to be able to implement things from day one to be able to change people's lifestyles and living from day one. And this is what we as leaders have to come together. It's all about going to be collaboration. We have to find a way and come down the middle where public and private sector come together to be able to meet these daily needs, not just feeding them today, but being able to provide a society where these persons are able to make ends meet for themselves. I don't think, and I would go on a limb to say, I don't think it's a level of persons not wanting to do, mm-hmm. but it's actually having the ability and the opportunity.
Social disconnect, a part of the economic disconnect, though. And mind you, not to disagree with the fact that that sector of people is a pretty significant number of people in the Bahamas, but because over those 50 years, right, the social disconnect is a product of the economic disconnect. I mean, you go back to something you said earlier, Dino, about the people in your age bracket and just under. Well, there's another disconnect because there's very little connection between the two generations. Right, and so we see all of these points of disconnect, but at the same time, when we're seeing the disconnect, they're dropping some. Every time there's a point of disconnect, something drops to the bottom, and so we're seeing more people go hungry today. We're seeing more people lose their homes. We're seeing more people lose their apartments. We're seeing more people without the ability to pay. Fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, social disconnect is also impacted by the erosion of the middle class. I remember back in those days I was talking about, when we were hearing about the new, all that narrative back then, it was the building of a middle class and making sure that the middle class was sound and had the ability to do this and do the next. And it was amazing. But then 50 years later, we have seen a significant erosion, again, disconnection, mm-hmm. where the middle class is practically obliterated. Who isn't living on the edge, is living with regret because they're trying to figure out what happened. And so we have to figure out a way to stem that tide. And it goes back to something that I said earlier. If we are going to be serious in the next 50, we have to look at greater levels of inclusion for the average Bahamian. And that is not a statement that says we are prepared to give you everything you want. It is the fact that we are a part of the equation that we are now developing so that they are an equal part. Because guess what? We're not all going to be doctors. We're not all going to be lawyers, All right. But we can certainly be good at what we do if we have, if we're included.
Yeah.
And you know, and even with that, sorry, Jeff, we need to ensure that these voices are a part of this plan.
Did he just call me sorry, Jeff? What is that? I'm just kidding. Go on,
yeah. Go on, yeah. Jeff Beckers, you need to be here. You need to be here.
But the next generation, truth be told, a lot of those who are making decisions now will not be here for the next 40 years, for 50 years. And so we, even with the development of healthcare and all that, they will not be here for the next 50 years. And so we need persons around the table who are adding to the conversation. And I'm not talking about token adding to the conversation, because we found that over the years, tokenism has been the order of the day, yeah, where persons of the next generation are put in positions to offer suggestions or offer solutions, but these things are stacked up or put onto shelves. I've worked on national, we have drafted, redrafted, drafted again, and it just sat on some cabinet office, cabinet table, sorry, or when administrations change, it never made it over. And so we have to now be able to, as a part of this national development plan, engage the voices, include the voices that will be here to live this out. If we're not here, at least our children will be able to live it out. And so,
can I ask you to consider one thing, though, really quick?
Yes, sir.
You said that the people who were there will no longer be here in 40 years. The issue I have with that, though, it's not the people, you know, per se. It's the system we have.
Yes.
And our commitment to the system. And that's where we have our biggest challenge. We have decent people, but we are overly committed to a failed system. Mm-hmm. And that is something that we have to be quite honest about.
Definitely. I think you're right, Jeff. You hit the nail on the head. I always say this, that culture trumps strategy every single time. System will eat whatsoever plan you come up with for lunch until you pay attention to the culture. You really are not going to get any place. And as you said, Dino, the persons who will benefit, they may not be here. There is a saying which goes like this. The tree in whose shade you sit, or the tree you plant today, you may not sit in its shade. The tree in whose shade you sit, you did not plant. Some persons, because that is the truth, because that is a reality, are fully engaged and 100% committed to planting annuals rather than perennials. You're listening to The Essentials, The Reset. Our guests are Mr. Dino Cartwright and Mr. Jeffrey Beckers. And we're going to take our last break here. And when we come back, we're going to shift totally into the positives. We want to hear what are the things which are needed for the future as we bring this wonderful conversation to a close. Don't move. Come right back.
On the go, miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Next Level Solutions. Next Level Solutions. This is companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions. Practical solutions delivered.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
force. Yeah, blessings we are reap and we coursing on full. Oh, we no rise and boast. Yeah, we give thanks like we need it the most. We have to give thanks like we really supposed to be thankful. Blessings all for my life and my thank God for the journey, the earnings and just for the plus. Yeah, my gratitude is a must. Yeah, me see blessings fall.
As the singer said, gratitude is a must, and certainly, you know, one have to be humbled to the fact that when we are given the privilege to do things like this on the radio, we have to take that responsibility extra serious. And this is what we try to do here on The Essentials. And so we have this evening two very, very well-qualified guests about independence. And obviously, if you're going to look at the journey from then to now, there are going to be some low points in it. But there's no sense having a conversation about the future without casting a look at the future. And when we're thinking about the future, we're certainly not going to be digging traps for ourselves. We are not going to be laying low points. What we're going to do is speak to the possibility of great things, great achievements. And so I want to start with you, Dino. What are some of the things which you expect to see in the future as we cross the threshold of the first 50?
As we cross the threshold of the first 50, I see technology-wise, we advancing as a nation because we would have to align with international standards. And so with the advancement of technology or the increase of our use of technology, I see us being able to become thoughts, more ideas, and I believe that more of our children, our students who have gone off to college and become advanced in their various fields and their various studies, they will now be coming back and helping to develop the nation. I also see, and I'm looking forward to the future that with the increase of more educational opportunities for our young people, whether it's in the STEM and the STEAM programs. I see a number of schools now starting those. We are now going to be developing students who are technologically savvy, who are able to help us with the arts and with mathematics, engineering, technology to help build a society. And so even though we would have seen that there are some sore spots, there are still some minor advancements that are happening nationwide that I'm excited about the future for. We have some brilliant minds, bright minds in our generation that are coming forward because of the expanse of our... So even though the educational system can go through reform, we actually have access to more information. We have access to more data that helps us to be able to think development of the nation. And so while it may not be the best of times, it's definitely not the worst of times. And so I'm looking forward to helping us to start a conversation with this generation and with those who are still attached to our generation and beyond, before us, who actually have a mindset to work together. And just as a caveat, I believe that, and even as Jeff said, it's not really about the people, it's about the mindsets. Because again, as people of faith, we know that Caleb and Joshua were two different generations, but because they had the same mindset, they were able to go ahead and go for the promised land. So as we go out, come out of proverbial Egypt and go into toward the promised land, we have to be willing to get rid of some things, change our thinking, change our tactics, and go forward. So I'm excited about education. I'm excited about the development of technology. I'm excited about the opportunities that would abound as a result of that.
Thank you. Some powerful points. Jeff Rebeckles, as the elder statesman, only for today. You started it. I'm going to finish it. Only for today. As I've seen, you have seen the highs, you have seen the lows, you have experienced that. You have had some very, very interesting exposure, great exposure, some not so good, but certainly, where do you see us in the early part of the next 50, and what are the things that we need to do to create this transition as we seek to move the country forward into, you know, high level of nation building, if you will?
Well, as the senior man at the table, we can't be afraid to evolve, right? and we talked a little bit about reforms that are necessary. And I think one of the best things that we can do for ourselves as a country is to honestly look at what we've done and who we've been in these first 50 years and make the adjustments. It's okay to have not made a good grade in some areas. It's okay. No successful person will tell you that they've never failed. So I think we have to be, in fact, it's okay to have failed in a couple of areas because it gives us something to work toward. We talked about the need for a more robust educational system and an educational delivery mechanism, which will give Bahamians the fundamental basis on which they should have hope. We talked about the need to improve healthcare and social reforms that are needed, and the need then to look at merit. There are a lot of Bahamians with merit who have done things, who are capable of doing things but are overlooked because of, you know, myopic partisanship and so forth and so on. And while we understand politics will always be a part of our lives, we have not done well, as good as we ought to, because of our over-reliance on political views, right? And so we tend to throw out the baby, the bathwater, the tub, and everything to go with it. I do hope and look forward to technology, embracing technology and innovations to help advance the country. I made an interesting comment the other day when I was addressing a financial group, and about digital adoptions, right? Of the 10 top digitized countries in the world, 3 of them account for almost 100% of our tourists. So what does that tell you? The Bahamas needs to make a major adjustment if it's going to be a part of a thriving economic environment, global economic environment in the next 50. And then we can't be afraid to benchmark. We spend an inordinate amount of time navel gazing and looking back at ourselves. I think one of the things that we can do very well is to look at benchmarks. It didn't matter where it is. It could be in Jibim. If they're doing something that we need to do better than we can, then let's look at what they do, and there could be an incredible rush of new positivity and energy in this country when we reframe our thinking such that the common Bahamian is factored into our plans, where he can feel like he's a part of it, and realizing that most powerful national anthem that I believe in the world has in its opening statement, "Lift up your head to the rising sun." That, I believe, is a powerful message that will resonate for us for the next 100 years, and I believe that we could do that. We subscribe to the fact that we are a Christian nation, then let's be realistic and let's realize that our values, our value system, are also going to play a very important part of the next 50.
And I think that is really, really a powerful point to make, because if we agree that we are doing it, the way we are doing it, the strategies that we are pursuing are not being optimized to achieve the things that we need today, then certainly there needs to be shift. And so if there are two words which I think come out of this conversation which are very important, Dino started the first one when he spoke about hope, and you came with the second one, which is about reform. And this is reform in its widest sense, not in its political sense. We need to reform our thinking. We need to reform the way we're doing things. We need to reform our outlook. And we have to do so within the context of seeking to achieve and address the things which are going to make the country, put the country in the best position to achieve its highest potential. We are almost clean out of time, and so we're going to give a 30 seconds here. And so Dino would like to hear from you, your last words on this show.
My last words are ambition. I'm grateful for the leadership that has brought us to this place. I'm excited about the leadership that is going to take us into the next 50. Everything rises and falls, as John Maxwell says, on leadership. And that's not just those that we elect. It's personal leadership that everybody takes their own ownership into what it is that the country can become and will become. And so when I talk about leadership, I'm talking about us finding our God-given space and the place where we add value and doing that, because everybody coming together helps to build a nation that is admirable and that is enviable throughout the world. I still believe that we are the greatest little nation in the world. I still believe we are the crown jewel in not only the hemisphere, but entire world. And so we have the minds, we have the ability. Now let's work on access and opportunity for every generation to work together hand in hand to go to that common, loftier goal that we ascribe to. And I'm excited about it. I offer myself for whatever wisdom or whatever knowledge I've gained so far to the conversation. And so I'm one of those who are not, but I present myself.
You're ready for the next 50. All right. And you know, I make sure that you employ me as your agent, and I'll make sure that you are in the right place, have the right conversation. But
this is not a what do they call it? This is not a political statement. This is just literally whatever I can.
No, it's a man, a citizen who is ready to do whatever is necessary to help his country advance forward. I tell you, I can be your agent on this, Jeffrey. You have the last word.
I just want to thank you again. I want to encourage every Bahamian to read, not sing. Read our national anthem and let it sink in on you. If we read it and let it sink in, I believe it will change your perspective. Happy independence.
And so we think it's a good point to leave. I thank you both gentlemen for being here. You know, we always try to ensure that when we are on the essentials, we remain positive, we remain logical, and we speak to create conversations which are going to benefit the country. And I think we had a very good one this evening. And so next week, we will bring this series to a close. And so we always try to wrap this up, but this evening, it's a celebratory one. And so we want to say again, thank you for being with us over the last 8 years. It's been a pleasure to be here and to have been given this opportunity to add my voice to the national conversations. And I can only hope that we do justice with the opportunity that we've been presented with. So all that's left to say is, as we usually end our show, do not allow your greatness to become a victim of your unwillingness to change. I want you to be good, to do good, to walk good. It's one love and Ubuntu. And as we always say here from the essentials, good night.
Autumn seems to never end. The leaves are always brown. Summer seems to never tend. Springtime's over beginning. When true love is found, winters are for finishings. True love stands its ground. Now I hear no happy songs. Birds have all gone south. Bright green pastures drying up, and plenty turned to drought. Life is full of ups and downs. The carousels of love. Good times, bad times, smiles and frowns.